Tzadik Gimel Amud Beis HaOmer Samei Es Eini Wakatea Es Yodi Shvaras Ragli. The Mishnah says that in such a case where the victim turns to the assailant, to the offender, and tells him to injure him, to blind his eye, to cut off his arm, to break his leg, chayav, that nevertheless the chovel still remains chayav. And even if the victim says to the chovel, al menas liftar, meaning I won't sue you for damages, chayav. However, that's only with regard to physical injuries. If the nechbal says, kara es ksusi, instead of injuring my body, the nizak says to the mazik, rip my clothes, shaver es kadi, or destroy my jug, chayav. Nevertheless, the mazik is chayav, but al manas liftar, if the nizak says explicitly that I won't demand payment, I won't sue you for damages, then he that's called mechila, he alleviates the mazik of a chiyuv damage. The Gemara now explains the reasoning to explain the difference in these dinim. Omale Rav Asi Bar Choma L'Rava Maishna Reisha U'Maishna Seifa. Why is it that in physical damages, even if the Nechbal says to the Chovel, Almanas Liftar, nevertheless the Chovel is Chayev, whereas in the Seifa, in the case of damages to possessions, to property, not physical injury, even though when the Nizak says to the Mazik, Almanas Liftar, the Mazik is indeed potter. Amale Reisha Lefisha Ein Odom Mochel Al Roshe Eivar. Rava's position is that we don't take in the Reisha, in the case of physical injury, we don't take the Mechila seriously. We don't assume that Mechila was a result of what we call Gmar Das. Gmar Das is a basic concept in all of Kinyonim, all of Dini Momenos, and certainly in Kiddushin as well. You need Gmar Das, a total, absolute decision on the part of the Makne. Here in the case of Mechila, we need a total, absolute conviction or commitment to his Mechila. But sometimes a person responds to an emotional state of being, something overwhelming. And the Rashba explains here that the reason why Rava, interpreting our Mishnah, says that the Mechil is not to be taken seriously, there's no Gemir Stas, he didn't really potter him up, because he made this entire statement. And the entire motivation here, mitoch, he was overwhelmed. He was in a state of tsar. He was in a state of kas. Something happened to him that was very profound emotionally. And he's in a suicidal mood. He's really in a self-destructive mood. And since the mechila is not to be taken seriously, therefore, the chovel is chayav. Omale Rav Asi responds to Rava's explanation with a question. V'chi Adam Mochel Al Tzaro. Okay, you understand that a person is not Mochel on Roshei Eivarov. But what about the Tzar that results from the injury, or from the physical injury? V'disanyan, I will prove to you from a Braisa that as far as tsar is concerned, in this very same case of physical injury, the nechbal's mechila is to be taken seriously. What does the braisa say? Hakeni pitzaeni almanas liftar potu. That if he says, hit me, give me a real physical zetz, and you'll be potter, then the halacha is, says the Braisa, he's potter. The makeh is potter. Why? Because here we're not dealing with the other chiyuvim of a chovel, you know, for physical injury. He didn't break his leg or take out a limb. But rather we're dealing with tsar. And in this case, even though the tsar was a result of physical injury, which would, l'chora, by virtue of analogy, be similar, be parallel to the case of Rosh Eivarim, where he takes out a limb. And just like in Rosh Eivarim, Ravi, you tell me that that his whole motivation was in a state of kas, in a state of tsar, it was a crime of passion, he wasn't really serious about his mechila. Why not apply the same logic to the case of tsar? Ishtik Rav at this point did not have an answer. He was silent. Omar, midi shmielach beha. Perhaps you, Rav Asi, have an answer in your back pocket. Maybe you heard something that would explain, that would formulate the logic that underlies this Mishnah, and specifically to reconcile the Mishnah with the Bryson, distinguish between Rosh Eivarim and Tsar. Omalei, Rav Asi said, Hachi Omar Rav Sheshes. What I heard from Rav Sheshes is the following. Mishum Pgam L'Mishpacha. Rav Sheshes, as opposed to Rav, had a different explanation for the Reisha of our Mishnah as to why the Nechbal, in his official statement, his explicit declaration of Mechila, is not capable of a Mechila. Not that the way Rava says he had no Kabir Stas, he wasn't serious about his Mechila, but that it's simply beyond his jurisdiction. He doesn't have Bailus, he doesn't have the ownership here, and the control, he's not in the driver's seat to be Mechil. Why? Because the Chiyuvim of a Chovel to a Nechbal come under a broader scope, and that's called Pagam Mishpacha. In other words, the Machayev of Tashlume Chavola in the case of Rosh Eivarim is Pagam Mishpacha. What does that mean, Pagam Mishpacha? So on a simple level, we'll explain it the way the Ravid explains it, that is that the Bnei Mishpacha go through a tremendous anguish as a result of the fact that one of their family members is a Baal Mum, he's got a blemish, he's missing a part of his body, it's no longer a healthy family. Maybe we could say that on the Shidduch market the members of the family will suffer because one of the family members was subject to such a radical thing where he lost part of his body. That doesn't apply in the case of Makos of Ptsoim. In Makos and Ptsoim, a person was hit. He was smitten in such a way that he suffered tsar, but that doesn't create a Pagam Mishpacha. There's no Balmum here. So when it comes to Rosh Eivarim, since there's an issue of Pagam Mishpacha, this individual, member of the family, who tells someone, I'm b'mochel you for Rosh Eivarim, he has no right, he has no jurisdiction to be mochel. But in the case of tsar, as a result of Hakad Ptsia, there is no element of Pagam Mishpacha, and he could be mochel, and therefore it's within his purview and his power to be mochel. If you take a look at Tosus Mishum, Tosus adds, U'mishalim hakol afilu tsar. And Tosus Chiddush is that in the case of Rosh Eivarim, according to Rav Sheshes, because of the element of Pagam Mishpacha, there's no possibility, there's no jurisdiction to be mochel, and that applies even to tsar. Meaning that tsar, in the case of Rosh Eivarim, is not the same mechayev, is not the same category of, essentially, as tashlumei tsar in the case of Hakka and Ptsia. When it's part and parcel of a physical removal of a limb, which means a chavol of Rosh Eivarim, their tsar is incorporated into the unit which is called the five Tashlume Chavola that we've been discussing throughout this perek. However, in the case of Hakka and Ptsia, their tsar emerges as a separate entity with its own halachas, and it's no longer a chiv tashlume that's generated by Pagam Mishpacha, but rather it's generated by the suffering of the Nechbal, of the Mukeh. If Tosus was incorrect, then the Bryce should have told me a bigger chiddush, that in the case of Rosh Eivarim, if he says Almanas Liftar, he's potter from Tashlumei Tsar. and then we certainly would have derived the conclusion about Hikani o Ptsani. Since the Braisa didn't mention that, the Braisa says that the Mechila is invalid, and therefore the Chovel is Chayev, it seems he's Chayev in all Tashlumin, including Tsar. That's the logic of Tosfos. Itmar. We have a presentation of two deus as to why Mechila in Rosh Eivorim is not valid. Rabbi Yoshia Omer, Mishum Pgam L'Mishpocha. Pgam Mishpocha means what we saw in Rav Sheshes. And Rav Omar, Mishum She'eno the Mochel Al Rosh Eivorim Shalom, meaning that there's no serious deliberate decision on his part, the part of the Nechbal, with regard to Rosh Eivorim, but rather there was no Gemir Stas, but rather he only said it because of his overwhelming Tsar or Kas, but it's not a true, genuine Mechila. And now we have a third opinion here, and that's Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says that when a person tells his friend that he should be mazik him, and he, the Nizak, will not collect damages, the mazik is potter, because Oda mochel al hakol, a person is serious and has a valid mechila for everything, and that applies, according to Rabbi Yochanan, even in this case of Rosh Eivorim on Ktias Eivorov. But rather, the Mishnah, says Rabbi Yochanan, is talking about a different case. He never said to the Chovel, the Nechbal never said to the Chovel explicitly, Al Manas Liftar. But rather, he instructed the Chovel to do this. And then the Chovel asked him, okay, what was your intention? If I go ahead and do this, if I take out your arm, if I sever your arm or I break your leg, are you gonna sue me for damages? And in the next part of this dialogue, the Nechbal said to the Chovel, Hein, yes, meaning, if you take a kipshuto, it means, yes, I will not sue you for damages. And herein, says Rabbi Yochanan, lies the distinction between the Reish and the Seif of HaMishnah, between Nizke Gufo, which means physical injury, or Rosh Eivorim, and Nizke Mamono. Yesh Hein Shehu Kilav. The Yesh Lav Shehu Kehen. In other words, the word Hein, as a response to a question, could mean one of two things. It can mean Lav, and it really means like Hein, is it really so? But really his intention to say no. So for example, if a person says, in the case of Hikani Optsani, and how much more so in the case of Chavol Barosh Evarim, he says, do it. And then the guy asks him, well, am I going to have to pay damages? And the response of the Nechbal is Hein, meaning, he asks him, will I be potter? Will you exonerate me from damages, from paying damages? And the answer was Hein. Here, Hein means Hein. Hein, could it be so? You know, as what we call Lashon Tmiah. In other words, would you be potter for such a thing? And his intention was to say, no. Okay? And that's because he said it b'loshen t'mir. However, if he responds b'loshen nichusa, meaning he said hein, without saying hein, you know, in the language, in an inflection of a question, then we assume that he meant it seriously, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, he has the jurisdiction. There's no issue of lack of Gemir Stas, there's no issue of Pekah Mishpacha, to be Mochel, and the Mechila is meaningful. Now, the Mishnah says that the Chovel is Chayef Ketias Eivarim, he's going to have to pay. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the Mishnah, the Ukimta in the Mishnah, is that the Mishnah is talking about a case where he said, Hein, Beloshen Tmir. Now the Braisa says that if a person is Makas Chavero, then the Maka doesn't have to pay for Tsar HaGuf. Rashi says, Dibra Maskel Rabbi Yochanan, that the Braisa is talking about a case where he said, Hein, when the guy says, well, I'd be potter for Tsar, the victim responded, Beloshen Nichusa, Hein, yes, you'll be potter. That's how Rashi learns this sugya. Tosfos Dibra Maskel Rabbi Yochanan is not happy with Rashi. he thinks that that pshat is dachuk, and therefore he says that in the case of tzara guf, even if he responds with the word hein or ken benichusa, really what he meant is litmoa ha'im achen tipote miloshon. Tosfos is not willing to accept the distinction between Rashi in terms of the inflection. We have to listen carefully to the response of the victim when he answers the question, "Will I be pote?" by saying hein or ken. Did he say it this way, benichusa, you know, with an exclamation mark, or Cain with a question mark? No, that's irrelevant. But we always assume, with regard to goof, with Niske Gufo, that even if he says Cain b'loshen nichusa mistama, what we assume he means is ha'im achen tipotim l'sham. He means it as a tmiya, as a loshen tmiya. That's Tosus' shita here. Then Rabbi Yochanan continues and he says Yesh lav kahu kehein, that sometimes a person says no on a question, that's his response, but he really means yes. For example, in the case of Kras Ksusi Shvaris Kadi, we're talking about Nizke Momono, and the Mazik says to the Nizak, if I do so as you mandate me, will I be potter? And he says lo. And here we assume lo is Beloshin Tmiya. No, it's will you not be potter? Meaning certainly you will be potter. If on the other hand he says lo, according to Rashi Shita bini chusa, he says no, you won't be potter, then he means to say that you're chayv. So the Mishnah says in the case of chovel begufo that he's chayv. In the case of mazik mamono he says potter, even though he says ken b'loshon tmiya. Let's just review that according to Rashi, when the Mishnah says that the chovel is going to be chayev to pay damages, and the Mishnah says that the mazik is going to be potur paying damages, then what it means is, if he said kain b'loshon tmiya, then in both cases he wasn't serious about his mechila, and the chovel or the mazik will pay damages because there was no serious mechila. If he says b'nichusa, in both cases you're potter, because derech b'nei adam shemochel al mamono, and that's what comes out according to Rashi. But as we said before, according to Tosfos, that's dochak, and Tosfos thinks that in this case mamono, even if he says lo b'nichusa, he didn't really have in mind that the guy shouldn't be potter. He meant to say b'loshen t'mir, you won't be potter, and if he's potter. And that sets up Nizkei Mamono as an entirely different category in contrast to Nizkei Gufo. Tanya Nami Hochi, the Gemara now invokes a brisa to support Rabbi Yochanan. The brisa says that if someone says to his friend, Hakeni Pitzaeni, and his friend then asks him, Al Manas Liftar, Vi Amar Lo, and the victim, the Nizak, says, Hein, Hareyesh Hein Shehu Kilav, that this word, Hain or Cain, is considered like a lav, like a lo, meaning it's considered as if he meant Beloshen Tmiya, and you'll be potter, and therefore he's chayv. Now the Brisa continues and says, Kra esk susi, rip my garment, so now in Nizke Mamono, Almanas liftar, so the Mazik asks the Nizak, okay, am I going to be potter now? Amalo, lav. Ah, hare lav shu kehen. What this lav is lo. In other words, it's not considered as he said yes, but really he's asking b'loshen t'mir, will you not be potter? And therefore he is potter. Now we go back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Shvar eskadi kras susi chayov. If the Nizak says to the Mazik, break my jug or rip my garments, Yechayev, as we discussed earlier, over Mini, but we have a stira to this din from a Brisa. And as a background to this Brisa, let's talk about the parsha of Shomrim in Mishpatim, Shmos Chav Beis, Ki Yitein Ishal Re'eu Chamor Oshar Oseh, Vechol Behema Lishmar, Umeis O Nishbar O Nishba Ein Roeh. And the brisa that we're about to learn here is medayik from the word lishmar. He gave the object over to the shomer lishmar. And then, if the shomer was poshea, he did not supply the proper shmira, then he pays for the loss of the object. Velo la'abed, as opposed to a case where Reuven gives an object to Shimon and he says, destroy it. Okay? So if he says lishmar, then the shomer will be chayev. But velo likro, but not if he gives it over to him and he says, rip it to shreds. In such a case, the shomer did not accept upon himself any chiyuv shmira, and he's potter. Lishmar velo lechalik laniyin. And the same thing applies, that the word lishmar is a miyut to exclude the case where Reuven gives something, let's say money or whatever it might be, objects of value, over to Shimon, and he says, please divvy it out as staka to the aniyim. In all these cases, the owner indicates that he's not makpid, and therefore he won't be able to be tovea. He has no rights to sue for damages. And this brisa is a contradiction to our Mishnah, because in our Mishnah, even though he gave him the object specifically al menas l'shovro l'koro, he gave it for the purpose of breaking it or ripping it to shreds, nevertheless the mazik is chayev. It wasn't lishmar. And here the Bryce assumes that if it wasn't lishmar, then he's potter. Amrav huna lo kasha. If the chayfitz is already in the hands of the shomer for purpose of shmirah, and afterwards the shomer destroys the object, he rips the garment to shreds, then even if the bailim said to the shomer before the shmirah that you should rip it or you should destroy it, if he didn't say the words al manas liftar, he's chayev. Why? Because kvar nischayev bishmirah. So when the shomer took the object into his hands, he took it for purposes of shmirah. But the Bryce is talking about a case of the lo osi liyadeh. In other words, Shimon ripped Reuven's garment before he received the object or took it into his possession, into his reshus, into his domain, for the purpose of shmirah. There was never a schayva shmirah to begin with. And therefore, if the object came to his hands with the purpose of destroying it, therefore he's patur. So why then does our Mishnah require almanas liftar in order to patur up the mazik? The answer is because when there were two events that took place bazecher zeh in two time sequences, and they're not interconnected, they're not bevasachas. At time T1 he says, you know what, destroy my object. But then later on he gave him the object for purpose of shmirah. And Shimon the Shomer received the object with his chayv shmirah. Omale Rabba turns to Rav Huna and he says, the Torah says lishmar in this parsha of shmirah. And the Brisa derives from that word lishmar that if it wasn't lishmar, you're potter. Is the osi liyode mashma? It would seem that the case that we're dealing with lishmar is that he already received the object l'shem shmirah. And even in that case, the Brisa says that if he says to him likra la'abed, he's potter. So again, you, Rav Huna, want to assume that in the context of the Brisa, we're talking about a case where he said to him, destroy the object. He commanded him to destroy the object before there was a Mesira L'Shmir and a Kabbalah Eschaivus L'Shmir. No, says Rav, that's not the implication. The Brisa is dealing and deriving its conclusion from the Diuk, from the word Lishmar. We're talking about Lishmar means it was given over for Shmira. And the Brisa says even in that case, although he Giel Yodok Kvar L'Shem Shmira, came into the possession of the Shomer, and at the beginning of the Pasuk says Ki Yitein, nevertheless, the Brisa insists that if he tells him Likroa Ola Aved, then he's potur. And therefore Rab has to find an alternative solution to reconcile our Mishnah with the Brisa. Elo Amar Rabba, let's not make this distinction between whether it was already Baliyad when he said La'abed, or he said La'abed when he came into his hands. Havaha, the Mishnah and the Braisa, both talking about a case, the Yasa, Li'yade, the object came into the hands of the Shomer, B'Torah Shmira, before he was instructed, L'Koro, Oli'ab, Devolo Kasha, Hadi Asi Li'yade B'Torah Shmira, Hadi Asi Li'yade B'Torah Kriya. Everything happened at the time, the moment that the object was handed over, was passed on to the showman. But the question is, what was the understanding at the time of that Mesira? Was it given for the purpose of Shmira? And then the Mafki, the owner, Reuven we'll call him, said that he can rip it, he can destroy it. If that be the case, then since he has this Chayv Shmira, and he didn't say to him Almanas Liftar explicitly, therefore the Shomer already has this upstanding, a pre-existing Chiyuv Shmir, Chayv Shmir that's hovering over his head. And once he was Makabel, the object B'Torah Shmira, what he says later on, the Mafkid, that Yachal Lekoro, if he has permission to rip it or to destroy it, that's just Dibur Ba'alma. That's not to be taken seriously. He never really meant that he should destroy it. That's what Tosfos says, Dibur Maskil Ha. But in the Braisa, is Asal Yadav B'Torah Kriya, when he gave it to him, when the Mafkid gave the object over to the Shomer, he said to him explicitly that if you want, you know, please provide Shmir, but if you want, you know, it's okay if you destroy it. And since he said it at the time of the Mesira, at the very time of giving over the object, therefore it's not considered as if the Shomer received the object from the get-go with his chayvus of Shmira. Now to finish up Perek HaChovel, the Gemara now tells a story which comes under the discussion that we had with the drasha of the Braisa from the word Lishma, who Arnika, there was a wallet that was full of money, Tztaka, and it was designated for Tztaka, the Asi Lefumpedisa, and it was sent to the city of Pumpedisa for the purpose of being divvied up amongst the poor people in the city of Pumpedisa. Afkadei Rav Yosef Gabiahu Gavra, Rav Yosef asked a certain Gabai of Tztok in the city of Pumpedisa to watch, to supervise this, you know, this arniki, this wallet. Pashaba, that Gabai did not take careful supervision over the object. The Shmira was not up to par, it was a Pshia. Asu Ganvei Gnevuha, and as a result of the fact that he left it off Hefker, the Ganovim took it and they stole it. It's Chayve, Rav Yosef says it's Chayev, meaning that this Shomer had the status of a Shomer Socher. Omalei Abai turns to Rav Yosef with a question, why should it be Chayev? Asanya, we have a Braisa. And the Braisa, if you recall, darshins in the parsha of Shomer in the word Lishmar, and amongst the exclusions, the miyutim from the word Lishmar is Lishmar v'lo l'chalik l'aniyim, that in the case where the object was given over for purpose of being divided up amongst the aniyim, he's not chayev im shia. And the mafkid doesn't have private personal ownership over this money, it was designated for the aniyim. On the other hand, the aniyim cannot sue for damages because that's called mamon she'ein lo tovim. There's no specific ani who has the rights to come forward to be tovea. Amalei Rav Yosef responded, aniyim defum pedisa make its kitzlehu. When you designate money for the city, for the poor people of the city of Pumpedisa, it is actually designated for each one individual. In other words, every person has his own need, and every individual member of this group, of this unit called the Aniyim of Pumpedisa, has his individual rights on a weekly basis. In other words, let's say Reuven is an ani and he gets it on week number one, and Shimon collects the money on week number two. But the money is earmarked for a specific ani, the Lishmar Hu. And in this particular scenario of Pumpedisa, when the pasuk says Lishmar, the aniyim are considered as if they brought the most to this gabbai. Again, even though Lamaisa it was Rav Yosef who actually transferred the arniki over to the gabbai, it doesn't matter. He's doing it on behalf of the aniyim, and specifically one particular ani, who is actually appointing this gabbai as his shomer until he receives the money. And therefore the full brunt of the law of Lishmar and all the conditions necessary to engender and generate a chiyuv v'schayvus of shmir apply. And if this gabbai is poshea, therefore is chayuv. Hadron Alecha HaChovel. Hadron Alecha Perek HaChovel. Mirtz Hashem, in the next year, we'll begin Perek HaGozel Eitz. B'siyata D'shmaya.